Glory to God. Bible study means you pay attention to the tenses. The tenses are very important. When you don't understand that reality, you won't know the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. The tenses are different. For instance, you hardly will find anywhere in the scriptures where the Bible says God loves you or that Jesus loves you. It's always spoken in the past tense. It has taken place. The fruit of that love is who you are today. Amen. You may think that's not so important until you realize the gravity of that statement. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. Okay? We're among them conquerors through him that has loved us. So it's always in the past tense. The love of God for you and I, for the new creation, is always in the past tense. He has loved you with an everlasting love. And within that love is his consistent love for you. Glory to God. So that's why we are careful about our singing. Because no matter what your thought, if your singing contradicts what your thought, you will not be able to walk in the fullness of the measure of Christ. So we pay attention to our singing, because a gospel song is a gospel being sung. Amen. Did you hear what I said? A gospel song is not a song that has Jesus in it. A gospel song is not a song that has Oluwa Shewin in it. Oluwa Shewin can be anybody. A gospel song is not a song that everybody can sing. It's a song that only believers can sing. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So there are some songs that are neutral. Anybody can sing it. But there are songs that only saints can sing. That's a gospel song. A gospel song is a song that only a saint can sing. Because he's not singing about what will happen. He's singing about what has what? Happened, which is a reality now. So the tenses are important. Very important. Last 10 years or more, we've sacrificed certain things. I can bring, let me use this phrase, overnight growth in attendance. Because we wanted to stay true to the master plan. That takes a lot of effort. We have people who have come in, who have left. Because they wanted something else. And we're not going to offer something else. Amen. We're going to stay with the truth of God's word. Now, after a while, it's already happening. People are coming back. They are realizing that gimmicks won't work. It won't last. Certain methods of ministry, we keep in babyhood state forever. But we are committed to the growth of every single believer. Say amen. So to release the nobility of Christ in you is why we exist. We're not saying others are not called of God, but the assignment is different. And then consistently, in line with the truth of the scriptures, is what you should be after. It's obvious that for some individuals, the truths are too high for them. So you're the one that will judge. When you're listening to God's word, you're reading the message. If the word that you're hearing is too high for you, it won't be the fault of the ministers. It will be that you've not yet grown up to receive some things. So we try to do our best to break some things down as much as possible. And we're trusting God to do that more and more. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 3. I will give you that one for free, amen? You don't have to pay. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 3. I read from verse 15. We're looking at the honor code. The honor code. And when I go home on Sunday, I saw a question that was skipped. And I want to try and answer that question today. I don't know how it was skipped, but that question was skipped. I can't remember the other questions, but this particular one struck me. Because somebody asked a question and says that, when this person wants to minister to me by the Spirit, I have issues. Doesn't she know that the attitude is nasty and bad? So the gist of it is that the person was talking about a particular individual. When we're having a Holy Ghost meeting, we come and minister. He says, when we're not having those meetings, this person's attitude is bad. What do I do? Now, really, anybody who is ministering is under obligation to the Spirit and to a local assembly to grow up. That's why, one of the reasons why a ministry will live right, let me say this very important, is not to please God. The reason why we live right is so that men can receive Christ through us. Say amen. You see, men are observing your lifestyle, and your lifestyle hates them in reception. Now, mature believers have learned to look beyond lifestyle and to receive the gift. Okay? But a minister ought not to put impediments on the part of those that will receive. And that's why you will see more natural qualifications for the office of a bishop. He that desires the work of a bishop desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, husband of one wife. He begins to not guilt, not desires of filthy lucre. That is not greedy when it comes to finances, when it comes to money. Okay, he doesn't preach for money. He's not looking after money, how to get from people. Okay, he must be grave, he must be sober, he must have rule over his household. So he gives you qualifications that are mostly natural, not spiritual. Because already he's spiritually equipped. But the other qualifications are qualifications that have to do with his personal lifestyle. Do you understand that? So for instance, I said something last Sunday about, because when you talk about honor in local assembly, most people just think about honoring the pastor, honoring the leadership. No, it's more than that. You cannot honor leadership if you've not practiced honor concerning fellow believers. Hallelujah. And so what we're trying to do is to reorient our mind. You see, we come in with a lot of baggage, a lot of ways of thinking, the corporate world, the places we've been to, our cultural background. Now, there's a culture in church that's different from your traditional culture. Very different. Okay? So, if you're African, naturally, you are brought up to respect. In fact, if you don't respect naturally as an African child, you were badly trained. Or you were trained, you refuse training. In a different way, look at it. So, that's different. The culture of the church is higher than that. Okay? It's a culture where you don't look at people's natural status. You look at their status in Christ to relate to them. Okay? So, when you have someone, particularly a minister, who has a nasty disposition, you don't greet people. When those who try to get you, you snub them. Everybody knows, you see, let me say something to you. If everybody calls you a snub, you are a snub. Don't give it. Don't say they don't understand me. They know enough to see that. You are a snob. And it's a bad name for a believer. Because that means you can't even preach the gospel. Nobody will listen to you. So if everybody, 1, 2, 3, 4, if people tell you things, if you're sound as a Christian, you go back and do a self-examination. What am I doing wrong? As if you're not convinced that you're what they say you are, what am I doing wrong? That's how you behave. So if people complain, Holy Ghost meetings, because the grace of God is given to people not considering their conduct. I hope you understand that. How many of you know that? You know, I always say this. When I was in school, there were people I thought God would call. He didn't call them. When he called me, I was as shocked as every other person. There were some very, very good brothers. They didn't go to parties. They didn't mime. I was miming on stage. I didn't go to parties. I wasn't doing, but I used to like miming on stage. You know, I don't look like it, but I used to like doing things like that. You know, so I was thinking of those brothers who go to fellowship. I only went to fellowship once in a while. But he didn't call any of them. Because it's not conduct. But conduct helps us to minister effectively to people. So, for instance, if you're a believer, you're a leader, you are intolerant of a particular ethnic group, you should not be a minister. You should not be a minister. You don't like anybody that is Igbo. You have a problem. That is not in Christ. Because those you are dealing with are in Christ before there are any natural ethnic group. There's a tribe. Say there's a tribe in Christ. Say I belong to the tribe in Christ. That's so important. Look at that. But if I tell you longer, how means know how. So how is not left to you. You know, I love what Pastor Lou was sharing this morning. How to do it is not left to you. You are taught how. There's a how. You need to be taught. You can't do it naturally. It doesn't occur to you naturally. So there's a how. That you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. There's a how. Why? This is the house of God. It now says the ground and the pillar of truth. This is the church of the living God. Every time you see the word living, it means keep the resurrection of Jesus in mind. The living God is a reference to what? The resurrection of Jesus. Every time you hear the living God, that's what it means. I think Revelation 3:18 says, 1:18 says that I am he that was dead, that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am what? Alive forevermore. And I have the keys. That's the living God. So he says, this is the church of the living God. Okay? The church of the living God. The ground and what? The pillar of truth. There's a how. That how needs to be taught. And when you're coming from outside, you drop your own way of thinking outside. And hopefully you won't pick it up again. Hopefully you won't pick it up again. So you are taught how to behave yourself. The person sitting next to you is first a believer than any other thing. Every other consideration is not in Christ. It's okay. This one is not married now. We're not mates. So marriage has become a classification. You know you have a problem. You already have a problem. Whether that person is older than you in Christ or not, more mature, can teach you, can train you, you have placed marriage as a barrier. You have a problem. You are carnal in your thinking. Marriage does not go past this earth. There is no eternal reward for marriage. Say amen quickly. Amen. That temporary was like having children. Amen. Now you can be joyful about, and if you are fortunate, you can fulfill the will of God together. But it doesn't go. Don't let culture of the natural world dictate the culture of the kingdom. Married or not married is not the classification in Christ. It is how much of God's love you are able to express and obedience to God. So that is what rich you in Christ. So when I come, you should know how to behave yourself. And that's why I said mutual honor is the first step. Romans chapter 12. I'm seeing some things I said last time. Verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without what? Dissimulation. That's old English for hypocrisy. Okay? That your love walk, don't let it be hypocritical. Okay, see what it says, abhor, that's dislike, detest that which is evil, then cleave to that which is good. Next verse, be kindly one, affection one to another, with what? Brotherly love. Again, when you see brotherly love, it's talking about the fact that we share the same spiritual womb. The same spiritual womb means that we're nourished by the same source. We are kin in Christ. So you are my family member. In that family, age is not a first prerogative. It's not a primary prerogative. I told you last week that in Acts chapter 1, those who gathered the 120 to pray, the mother of Jesus was one of them. Why didn't she go to Jesus? You know you are my son. Baptize me here. No, Jesus was her son, biologically speaking. Spiritually, this was our Lord and Savior, the one who made her. Hallelujah. So, you don't bring in natural relationships above spiritual relationships. You don't. Spiritual relationships are far stronger and way more than the things of God. Hallelujah. That's why, again, there's so everything you almost find in the epistles, they're teaching about love walk. Because that's where honor is, the love of God. That's why I don't understand. Now, you may have dealings with some believers. Believers are not, when it comes to conduct, they have poor conduct. And you are tempted to react. But then I always say this. Your love work is not strong if what a believer does to you is governing your own actions. Your own actions should change any negative conduct in a believer. That you're ranting doesn't mean I will rant. That you're holding a grudge doesn't mean I will hold a grudge. That you're keeping mad doesn't mean I will keep malice. No. I choose to walk in love. I choose to honor you. I choose to speak no evil concerning you. I choose to keep no record of wrongdoing done against me. It's my choice. I cannot say before God, you made me. I can't say that. Because I have control over my conduct. And that's why, you see, the teaching in the epistle seems to start from who is the closest person that can offend you? Husband, wife. So that from husband, wife, you move toward the congregation. From the congregation, we can see how you're going to, because it's difficult to tolerate your wife or your husband. If you pass that test, you can tolerate others. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So we now move to local assembly. How do you treat other believers? Hallelujah. I know in pastoring, you hear things. I've heard of members who never greet each other. Not just that they don't greet, people know they don't greet. You know, that's evil. That's evil communication. People even know. But as soon as I said, no. In fact, if he's in this committee, he will move to another committee. He's evil. Be kindly affection one to another. Okay, with one brotherly love. That is, you know what brotherly love means? Show family affection to one another with what? You have to first see that person as a brother. He now says, I'll do one another in showing what? Honor. How blessed our experiences will be if we learn to just follow scriptures, even blindly. He says, I'll do. So I honor you, you honor me. That's the way it works. And in honor, I'm not looking for the first person to show honor. As well, when I teach, I don't say, wife, submit first, husband loves. I say, no. Do your part. Let him do his part. Husbands, love. Wives, what? Submit. Why can you do? Both are believers. That's the way it works. Do your part, let the other person do their part. So he says, this is the love rule. This is how honor is carried out. Be kindly affectionate towards one another with brother love. So brother love means that the relationship that binds us together in Christ should be of utmost priority in your dealings with every single believer. What binds us together? Not ethnic things, not class, not age. Listen, if the governor of the state walks in, we will honor him because we're instructed to honor leaders, civil leaders. We are instructed. But I shouldn't honor the governor if he's not a believer more than I honor you. The honor reserved for you in my heart is different and higher than for any leader that is not a believer. How many of you have just said? It's so important we understand it. It's honor for the body, which is honor for Christ. It's so important. So your brother is misbehaving. And the thought you're thinking about is, God will soon catch him. You've forgotten that you're brothers. And that whatever affects the person will affect you also. And that your first response is to pray for that person that's going. What you're busy doing is telling 1, 2, 3, 4 people. Did you see Sister Clara? No, I can use some names because nobody is bearing that name. I hope nobody's bearing Clara. Did you see Clara? I saw her at the door of the club. Did she enter? Me, I didn't wait too. I just left. That's the problem. She may not have entered. But you have spread the story. Sister Lara was at the club last night. And she believed in her house in worship like this. You were not there. That story should have ended with you. And nobody should have heard it. If you have misgivings, you should have prayed for Sister Clara. But by the time you get to somebody else, you say the same story. Let me tell you how people do. People that are carnal, they will garnish the story. By the time you get to the fifth person, last night can club. She can club. She was there with a man. Don't mind that. So, nah, they didn't tell you that one. The story is not sweet enough, so you have to add some things. You understand? So that's why Romans chapter 12 starts by saying, look at verse 1. Look at verse 1 and 2. See what it says. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you want, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What service is your act of worship? You present your body as an act of worship. It's an act of worship. It's an act carried out by you. You are the one who chooses to worship God with your body. And worship also means that you're serving God in your local assembly. You present. Your body cannot be presented by anybody but yourself. So you present your body. It now says, and be not conformed to this world. Okay? I think I'm trying to say this here. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into what? Its own mold. Listen. It's when the world is squeezing into its own mold that you come up with, I am conservative, I don't greet people first. If they don't greet me, let them be on their own. You are conformed to this world. It says, prefer one another. So I'm not waiting till you greet me. I will greet you. Particularly if I notice you are ignoring me. You know, that's one of the reasons why we have failures in evangelism. A believer is ignoring you, cannot go up. The unbeliever whose face is hard, you will never go. You will never go. Because you've not had practice. You are very intolerant. And intolerance is carnality in capital letters. Yeah. That's the issue. This is, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So there's a renewing of mind. Now listen, sometimes your estimation of what people are doing may even be wrong. How will you know if you don't walk up to them? You greeted the person ignored you. Go and greet the person in such a way that if the person is ignoring you, to be obvious. How many of you know I'm talking about? Because some people have, you know, if you are walking in the flesh by ignoring fellow believers, you should be ashamed. Have a little shame. A level of repentance that if the person comes to stare you in the face, you will at least answer. If you don't answer at that level, seven elders, 7-day prayer, and fasting with 7 candles should be lit for you. At that point, as person is standing, you are hanging, and you walk in, you need 7-day prayer for your life to change. Because somebody can confront you, you should be shamefaced enough to be compelled to what? Respond. But some believers are that way. So there's a reorientation of our mind, Ephesians 4, verse 17, that we need to go through so that we don't fall prey to the same mistakes that the Jews made in the days of Jesus. It was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. That's the world. He came to his own, and his own received him not. That's serious. The expectations were different. In the wisdom of God, in their own wisdom, God's wisdom became foolishness to them. They couldn't understand how God could come in this format. Ephesians 4:17. See what it says. This I say therefore. Now, you need to understand how the Spirit of God writes to Paul. When you're saying therefore, you have said some things before, isn't it? He's told you about the fact that there's one God, one Father who walks through all. He spoke to you, spoke never. God sent me his gifts for the perfecting of the church, okay? For the edifying of the body of Christ together. Until every one of us grows up to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. He's already said all those things. Okay, that every single individual, when they are grown up, they will minister a supply that will cause the whole body to be edified. He now says, this I say therefore, this is now very important. The next phase, after the spiritual implication of what Christ has done, the next phase to pay attention to is this. You need to stop thinking and acting like unbelievers do. This I say therefore and testify in order that you henceforth walk not as what other Gentiles walk. In the one, futility of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from. Are you alienated from the life of God? No, you're not. Life of God is in you. So it's teaching renewing of the mind by the changing of their actions. See, your mind needs to be renewed so that your actions can change. Your conduct needs to change now. Says, because in the light of everything I've said, you are ministers. Your focus is the body. It now says, look at next verse. It's talking about the Gentiles now. They are past feeling. They're giving themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk on uncleanness with greatness. Next verse. But you have not so learned Christ. And that's okay. We didn't learn that of Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 verse 5. Are you following this morning? All right, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know what? Let is what allow. That means it's actually within your control. Now, you will not, the word let will not come to play if the mind is referring to is already in you. So it's like this. You have the mind of Christ, and some of us have another mind. It says, let the mind of Christ hold sway. Let it govern your activities, let it govern your conduct. That's what he's saying. So he says, let this man be you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not one robbery to be equal with you. I don't know why that King James used that phrase. But here's what he's saying. Jesus is God. He didn't see his divinity as something to hold on to jealously. He didn't hold on to it. He didn't see it as something to grasp or to hold on to in order to fill his assignment. That's what he's actually trying to say. Okay? You know, I've shown you that when it comes to your Bible study, you have to see how some things were phrased such a way that it sounds contradictory. No. The word rubbish there is wrong. He didn't see is even there something in there to hold on, get us little in order to fulfill his assignment. So in order to fulfill his assignment, he let go of his divine privileges. Because for one, for instance, God cannot die. Are you with me? God cannot die. But if God becomes a man, he can experience death. On the behalf of who? On the behalf of man. Okay? So see what it says. He had equal status. Okay, so next verse. Let's go back in James. Okay, so he made himself of no reputation. That means he emptied himself and took upon the form of a servant and was made what? The likeness of men. Now, again, remember, they are explaining the life of Christ now. That's what Paul is doing. So he's telling there were things Jesus did that was a puzzle to the Jews of his day. And service in that dimension is actually honor. That's what he was doing. That the creator should pay the price for his own creation and should take their place. And in order to do it, he served them in doing it by honoring them. So in that service, in that death, he was honoring us. Hallelujah. Now, you know, we sing songs of honor today. We honor him and everything. But how did he begin? He began by what? Honoring us. Say amen. And everybody Jesus has called, he is called to follow the same example. So I've told you mother once, a minister is a chief servant. He's a servant like a servant, but he's what? Chief servant. That's what he is. He shows the example of service. All of us can see that example and follow the example. He's not the chief recipient of benefits. Is a chief servant that sets a pattern of service, because that's the example that Christ set. And the second example, he did it to honor and to show us how to do things. Glory to God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you putting others first, because to honor means to treat with regard, to place value on. Let me say it again. It means to treat with regard. It means to have respect. It means to place value on. That's what honor is. So if I place value on you, I will treat you with what? Respect. I will treat you with what? Regard. For instance, you may have personal relationships with people, which is fine. But the honor you have for them in Christ should be greater than that. In the natural, for instance, now, if you're married, and I address you publicly, as a culture, I will address you by your married name. Even though I have a personal relationship, I can call you by name. If I want to do anything publicly, I address you by my name. You hardly will see me addressing our ministers by name. What am I doing? I'm setting an example for you to follow. This is how to do things. Glory to God. I'm setting an example. It's honor. Glory to God. That's how it should be. And it should reflect in all that we do. It should reflect in all that we do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. I'm calling attention to a lot of scriptures. It says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them. Which what? Labor among you and are over you where? They are over you where? They are over you where? So can somebody be over you in the Lord and be younger than you are in age? Good. How do you address that person? With honor, with regard, with respect. Do we honor those that are older than us? Culturally, yes. But before that kind of honor, there is first the honor that comes by being in Christ. It says, now notice why you should honor them. Notice it doesn't use age as a criteria. Look at why you should. Look at next verse. It says, and to esteem them how? How should you esteem them? Say very highly. And if it says highly, it's good, but it says very highly. Why is that important? That controls the flow of virtue towards you. Listen, they are ministers of spiritual things. Spiritual things are controlled by honor. The flow of spiritual things. You can't see spiritual things. You can only experience them. Now, because it's spiritual nature, the flow of spiritual things towards you is controlled by honor. That means you cannot receive from a vessel you criticize. You can't. You cannot attract or receive anything from a vessel that you criticize. No matter how enabled, equipped, and anointed he is, Nothing flows in your direction once you dishonor the person. Listen. Some years ago, I heard about a testimony, and a woman, 15 years, I think, close to 15 years, trusting God for a child. And she insisted that they put her in a political team. So I think it was Pastor Miso Yedepo that came for a conference with them. And the young lady made sure she was the person that was personally serving, taking care of her. So she just poured water when the woman was testing and gave her water to drink. Just a cup of water. But there was so much honor in the way she handled the woman of God. And one just looked at her and just said, "What you are believing God for, you have it." Pouring water into cup. It wasn't pouring water. It was the honor. What you are looking for, it's yours. She conceived. In case she thought it was coincidental, listen, what happened 3 years after? She came back for another meeting. The same woman came. And she was in charge again. She asked whether the woman came. And she took the water from her. Before she drank, said, "Oh, I think we're ready for another one." Spiritual things flow based on honor. We saw Mark 6 last week. How Jesus could there do no mighty work? The Bible says in his own village, in among his own people. Because they were saying, "This is not the carpenter's son. This is not the carpenter's son. We know him. His brothers and sisters are here with us." So they saw the Messiah in the light of a natural individual. My younger brother, my junior one. But this is a servant of the living God. Let's even leave Messiah alone. Servant of God. He said, a prophet is not without honor, except where? In his own country, among his own what? Family. So, you know, sometimes your family members may be the ones who struggle the most to recognize the fact that you are graced of God to be a minister. They may be the ones. They may be the ones who struggle the most. Because they are looking at you strictly naturally. You know, let me say something. You know, one of the natural brothers of Jesus. You know, Jesus had brothers. Have you know? Okay. You have not heard of James, the lost brother, the pastor of church at Jerusalem. He did not get saved though. He was not a convert when Jesus was on the earth though. It was after Jesus rose that Jesus appeared to him, his own blood brother. Imagine that saying, "Jesus is not you. What's up? How far?" This is your Lord and your Savior. It's a spiritual relationship. And it takes precedence over natural relationship. Now, I'm saying that to say this. If we start with honoring one another, let me tell you what will happen. The things of the Spirit in this assembly will move to another level. Because it's difficult for you to entertain dishonor in your heart towards somebody you are constantly honoring. You've chosen to see this person in this light, irrespective of their word, conduct. It's so important. Listen, closeness means we will step on each other's toes. But let honor be your guide and your watchword. It's not just because I'm a pastor. As you're sitting here, and I say before God, I don't hold anything against anybody. And my toes have been stepped, not just stepped on, bruised, plaster removed, bleeding, they were still stepping. Loving people, you are insulted for loving. Giving counsel rejected. People are in danger because they rejected counsel. You still go behind the scene and go and pray for them that they will not suffer consequences. That's the life of a minister. You are not a good minister if your assignment is to tell people, "Shebi, I told you. Shebi, I told you. God has caught you." My God never sleeps. Did you see? Did I warn you? I told you. Everybody that crosses me, you. I mean, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus said, "Peter, our previous conversation, feed my sheep." "You are not angry." I said, "Feed my sheep." "Do you love me?" He said, "Feed my sheep." The position hasn't changed. He said, "Peter, Peter, with what I trust, Peter." When they asked the third time, asked Peter the third time, you were cursing. If I know him, let anything happen to me. "Peter, you betrayed me." Jesus called him, "Peter, come. Let's continue the journey. Eternal things are at hand. Glory to God. Honor is so important. The same Peter became a man. Among the others, he was the senior prefect of the apostles. Peter became an institution that if you were going to be called into the apostolic office, even if Jesus appears to you on the road to Damascus, you will need to come and see Peter. For Peter to validate you. I hope you know. For Peter to validate you, Peter will have to validate you. If you don't believe in Paul's epistles, if you read 2 Peter 3 from verse 18, you better believe. Peter is telling you that there's a wisdom given to Brother Paul. That's Peter. He's telling you that there's a wisdom given. In fact, if you are struggling with what he has written, just know you are finished. Peter is saying that about Apostle Paul. What's he doing? Validating, confirming that this is the servant of Christ. Because he has that kind of office. Hallelujah. That's a kind of office. So, in Holy Ghost meetings, sometimes those areas can hinder the flow of virtue. It can. You know, there's a particular, I don't want to embarrass him. There is no challenge he has when he calls me on the phone and we don't see. I just say a word. It disappears. It happened 3 times consecutively before I understood what's happening. I said, okay, there's the way this person sees me. A minister reached out to me and said that we got a new land. A land I didn't know they got. Not here. Somewhere in Abuja. I've known the minister. I was supposed to go and minister for him. Some things came. I couldn't go again. How do you know the way people see you? If I appear to you in the dream now, I hope you know what I mean. Not that I will appear. I assure you, I'm in my bed. I am sleeping or I'm praying. I do not appear to people. I'm not the head of the church. But the way God works in the church is this. It's very unique. He said he slept, he had a dream. And he saw me and him standing in land he just occupied. Very sharp guy. He said, I know what it means. This thing will work. Because there's a way he sees me spiritually. And I was there to bless the work. And I've never been there, physically speaking. I don't know how many people have told me, Pastor, you came. You said this to me in the dream. Please repeat it. Ah, repeat what? I am not the one. Jesus, following the spiritual principle, is using an authority figure over you to bless you, to give you clarity and direction. I hope you understand. So now, you now see the problem when you despise your pastors. That means the first line that God will use, he can't even use where you're concerned. Because you have despised. So you see all these gathering in places and talk. It's a problem. Because you are looking at the humanity of the man, that the Jews looked at the humanity of Jesus and they rejected their salvation. They looked at the humanity of Jesus. The reason why God commands honor is the very reason why honor is necessary. Our humanity can be deceptive. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. If you have noticed the way I operate sometimes, I will call you. And if I call you, we're having a meeting, I call you, please don't step back, don't shy away. Come, go and do this. That is not the time you're saying, I'm going to lie to you. What you will say is in what I said to you. Go and sing a song. Go and lead prayer. If I tell you go and lead prayer, I say go and tell you, just go to the mic and go and what? When you get there, you will know what it means to honor. Something will flow out of you. If I call you, come and lay hands. That's not the time to, they will discover me today. I didn't pray for the last 2 days. How can pastor be doing this kind of thing? No, if I call you to come and lay hands, if I call you to come from my office, something's going to happen when you get here. If you understand honor. If you understand honor. See what it says. It says, but we have this one treasure in, this is very nice. You know, 18 verses is very polite. It only says perishable containers. In this mortal decaying body, we have something what? Treasure. That the excellency of the power may be of who? Of God and not of. So if you look at us the way we appear, I won't think about power, it doesn't correlate. And that is God's wisdom in operation. So that you can look and focus on who? God to receive true men. It is just God's wisdom. It confounds, let me use the word that Paul used, it disappoints the wisdom of the world. That's what it does. Do you know what it means for a centurion, a man of means and class and authority, to come to Jesus and say, my servant lies at the point of death. I pray thee, just speak a word. For him to come back. He didn't send people. He came by himself. It was honor. Jesus looked around and said, I have not seen so great faith. Not even in Israel. And the man began to explain himself. I'm a man under authority. I said to this one, come, he comes. I said to that one, go. You're also a man under authority. Don't come to my house. Just speak the word only. It's honor. Virtue flowed. What was Jesus trying to say? All of you are around me here. As you are here. Until I follow you to your house, you will not believe. You understand? You rub shoulders. You have looked at my beards. You have seen me change clothes. You see me go to the convenience. And that's why you are sitting thinking, shall I come to the house? Come. Come and sit down. What will you eat? Give him Gary. You understand? So Jesus deliberately, that was recorded for us to see that somebody who is not too familiar with Jesus came from outside with honor and received and left in a way not anyone had received. He said, speak the word only. I don't need to come to your house. And if you're not careful, that's what familiarity does to you. If you're married, your husband is a pastor or a minister, learn to receive the office. Learn to receive the office. Understand the difference between husband and what? Man of God. They're not the same. I'm just telling you, they're not the same. It's important that you see the difference. And if you are the male and your wife is the one that God has in that sense called, see her in that light. It's not one that goes to the kitchen, go and cook for me. My friend, go and cook for me. We're not saying you know cook. We're telling you that the grace of God is what? The grace of God. And it's without respect of persons. Learn to recognize what? The grace of God. Where do you start from? The grace of God, like Pastor Tony said this morning, is in every single believer. Say this, grace of God is in this assembly, is in you, it's in me. I honor the grace of God at work in you. I treat you with honor, with regard, with respect. So the first line of relationship, again, is not class or age. Almost all the epistles, James used very strong words for people who have preference, for people who have wealth. You know, you are an usher. You are a colonel. When that brother is coming, you quickly address the way he's dressed. Welcome. Now, colonel. When this man in flowing, you know, suit, everything is coming. I'm going, welcome, sir. Come, sir. Yeah, come on. Come and sit down there. Move. You are sized it up. You know, our ushers, they don't put you in the front because you are the best dressed. No. You can be best dressed at Cana. You will distract the pastor. They've studied you. With your money and your influence, you are still very Cana. So they don't want your face to be seen too quickly. The only way they will put you at the back if you are dressed indecently and they don't want people to, and they're even still helping you. But they don't observe your physical dressing, you know, your class, you know, you are the commissioner for. In whose house are you a commissioner? In the house of God? No. You're here a servant. In the kingdom of God, greatness is service. Service is greatness. It's not the key to greatness. It is what? Greatness. So the ones who are truly great are the ones who serve. You know, I've been an usher before, so I know how ushers are. Thank God we don't treat them like that. I've been in the church where, you know, naturally you're courteous. So you want to help people, you collect back from them. You help them to make it comfortable with them. Let me show you how some people do. Take, just take. Carry that one too. This is church. That you ask yourself, auntie, it's church. It's for Christ that we are doing this thing. You know? I'm not your houseboy. The way they make you, because there's no honor in it. If the usher doesn't greet you, greet the usher. Don't argue with the usher. Because they are put there, they are under authority. You argue with them, you're arguing with the authority that put them there. Can you explain the reason why you don't want to sit in a particular place? Courteously, you can. And the ushers will listen to you if your reason is logical or reasonable. If It's not reasonable to say, madam, please sit in this place. Just go and what? Sit in that place. You didn't bring chair to church now. And this is not your sitting room. They are there for order. There may be reasons. I've seen people who didn't want to sit close to the AC. Are there people like that? Yes. That's a good reason. And they will just rearrange you. It's not that, you know, you have coded yourself. You don't put me in that seat. That's my seat. If I don't in that seat, I will not flow. You have not seen people. They are doing like this. Come, come, come. Like, no, no. Last line. Check them in school. That's how they be sitting at the back. They brought the thing to church. He said, come and sit. No. But as they are coming in, their face already like, their face already saying, just don't come. Just don't come. No, this is the church of the living God. Say amen. Amen. When we welcome you, we welcome you. You give honor to those who are ushering you to your seat, to a place to sit. If you have reasons not to sit there, let it be known courteously. Because what they are doing should be a challenge to you for you to also serve God. They are doing a service for which they will be rewarded. Then they are encouraging to also what? Serve God in like manner. That's what they are doing. So that's so important that everyone must understand. See, when it comes to leaders among you, he said that esteem them very highly for their work's sake. I said something last week that when you're addressing your leaders, be very courteous. Age is not the first priority. It is what? Leadership. Spiritual leadership is what? Very important. We don't have leaders here that are rude. We don't. So the leaders we have to their cultures, they recognize those who are older, those who are. But there is a way also that every other person ought to relate with those who are presented to us as what? Leaders. And that's why when it comes to leadership, in your conduct as a leader also, assess yourself. Examine yourself whether you're actually conducting yourself properly. So if you have somebody who ministers and their conduct is questionable, just report to the pastorate. We'll deal with the issue. We'll deal with the issue. Yeah, some things happen like that where a minister, somebody wants to minister to you and the person's conduct has upset you in the past. And the person's conduct is still that way. What do? The best thing to do really is not to report. The best thing to do is to learn to look beyond the person's conduct. And what? Receive ministry. Say amen. You know, again, when the Holy Ghost is flowing, that's not when to criticize. That's when to be overly analytical. This jumping. It's not God, though. This kind of jump. If it's really God, these are the vibrating. This one is not God. You are busy analyzing, you are missing God altogether. Okay? So at that time, it's time for you to receive. So learn to look beyond what? The conduct of individuals. I gave you an illustration last week, which I think I would like to repeat because, again, I heard this, and it's a very sad story, really, because the ministry is based somewhere in Ikorodu, and very prominent minister. And if you come to that place, that town, the old town is shut down. When I say shut down, you mean there's people everywhere, they receive everything like that, miracles and everything. Then he just got into offense with a particular ministry. And that's what social media seems to be fostering these days. Me, as you are seeing me, I don't get into offense. But like from people I learn and I receive from, I do not. No matter what you say about them, I just turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to what you are saying. Now, he just got into offense with something the person did towards him. And within a short period of time, he criticized the entire ministry. And it's a miracle ministry. Then shortly after, working on miracles just stopped in that ministry. They prayed, they fasted, he did not come back. Because of dishonor. If that man is not 100% okay in his conduct, he's not your business. He's the one that called him. Because the gifts and calling of God are without what? So God won't change his mind and take it away. Listen, he doesn't put you under someone because the person has dotted all the I's and crossed the T's. No. He puts you under someone because the grace he gave to that person is what will cause you to mature. So you focus on what? The grace that the person has to bring you to maturity. The person, if the person doesn't grow up, he will answer for their conduct as time goes on. Do you understand that? But if you focus on, because you won't find any perfect minister anyway, you'll find those that are working towards what? Perfection. That's what you find. Yeah, that's what you find. So you've got to learn to look beyond that. That's why, listen, I'm using ministry example to let you see that your brother, your sister may offend you. What should you look for? Brotherly love. It says, in honor, preferring one another. You know what it means to prefer? I put you first. So again, like I said, if it's I put you first, anything to make things work for you is what I would do. I treat you with God with respect. I don't let familiarity that will bring this honor come between us. That's why I tell people, you greeted the person, didn't answer. Go and meet the person. I greeted you yesterday, you didn't answer. Good morning. And watch what their response will be like. Like I said, the person that doesn't respond to you, just bring the person. We'll look for 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll look for other 3 others. No, we will not do the work. We'll go and look for white garment people. We have other things that we are busy doing. We'll put you in, what do you call that in English now? Seclusion. 7 days. You'll be eating beans and corn. Only for 7 days. We lighten candle for you. You will not leave until all the candles are burnt. By the time you come out, you'll be humbled by force. So the issue really is that if I've learned to overlook, I'm tolerant, I'm walking love, I will never hold certain things against you. Say amen. I will not hold something against you. So it's very important that we understand that. We have ministers that are here. And those ministers are set by God. You notice one thing. See, no one has been appointed particularly to the pastoral office assembly because I like them. No. You know, I just like maybe your faces. I just like your face. No, every single person was appointed to the pastoral office or people who are handling the ministry offices. Not a single one was put there because the pastor likes them. No, it was an instruction. And that's how we handle ministry from inception. I'm not one of those who will be like, see, I called him. I appointed him. It's appointed me. No. It is God that appoints. You can put an empty container and put any label. It doesn't make it that thing, isn't it also? So it's important that we recognize that. That when it comes to leadership, here, particularly in the Bulas Christian Center, leadership is what leadership. Please don't let carnality come in between your leaders. Your leaders are meant to be represent Christ to you. You are meant to honor them at all times. Don't entertain anyone who brings you stories and tales about your leaders. Don't entertain them. Bid them farewell quickly. They will put something in your heart that you cannot handle. Glory to God. When they are discussing negative of ministers, I don't stay. I don't listen. Because you won't know when something is planted in your heart. You will not even know when it's planted. And your heart starts thinking. And once your heart is not right towards a minister, problem starts. Problem just starts. So avoid it. Don't be among those who are censoring. You know, I had, I think I gave that illustration last Sunday also, about somebody who was complaining about how a minister was rebuking very strongly. The other person was very sharp. Said, leave my house now. Just leave. Carry your cross and go. But that's how people come under curses. You just think there's nobody you cannot talk about. I want you to know that's what they are doing in social media. There's nobody who is sacrosanct. There's nobody who is. As a minister, even I don't approve of certain things the man has done. I don't necessarily. But there are these other ministers who are far older than me in life and ministry, who on their pulpit and in personal dealings spoke against that minister. There was a major meeting later when they met. Another minister came up and said, this is what the Spirit of God is saying. If you're here, so person, you are struggling in your ministry financially, can you please stand to your feet? They stood up. There's some of you are struggling with health issues. Can you please stand up? God gave that man wisdom. The last thing I said that. Now, if you've spoken against so and so, and you're among those who are standing up, can you raise your hand? Almost everyone will raise their hand. The Spirit of God says, repent. Repent of what you have done. What you did opened the door for the enemy to come in. Then the minister was called upon to pray for them. Now, notice what I said. It's not everything that minister did that was right. Okay? But they introduced something into their lives by that criticism. Hallelujah. I'm convinced it was John's criticism of Jesus that opened the devil. Gave the devil the offense came. And from that offense, Jesus is a savior. I am convinced Jesus could have saved John the Baptist's life. I am convinced. The message Jesus sent to him was, blessed is he that is not offended in me. It was offense that opened the door. A devil came in. And that's what offense does. And one of the cures for offense is what? Honor. Honor. Jesus said they were offended at Jesus' honor. You have to learn to what? Honor people. So, where do you start honor from? Besides ministers, besides your pastors, your leaders, learn to have honor one for another. It's very important. I don't encourage cliques. It's almost impossible not to have people that you associate with more than others. That's true. But cliques that exclude others are not held in a local assembly. You don't talk to anybody. You don't greet anybody. You just come in. And if you are one of those people, you just come in. You are in the secret service. You sneak in, you sneak out. We don't know your name. We don't know where you come from. But you have been here for the past 2 years. We still don't know who you are. You are in the secret service. Please sign up for public service so we can recognize you. So we can know where. You know, it's not good for me to see you outside of getting, hello, hello, brother, hello. No. I should be able to call you by what? By name. I should be able to. And some people have nickname for. But I don't know why it's chief from beginning to now. It's still chief now. Whether I ask chief this title or not, I've given him chief this title. He's chief. Captain is captain. If I say captain now, you know who I'm talking about. Braggart is the holy brother. We all know. Even his look is holy. Just by look. You don't have to go far. There are people here, you ought to name them by what? Name. It's important. How do you know people by name? Well, you greet them. You greet them. So, our service is finished today. Okay, let me show you somebody. This is Mrs. Ido. In case you don't know her, Mrs. Ido, please stand up for recognition. This is Mr. Ido. In case you don't know him, please stand up for recognition. Greet them after service. Amen. That's an instruction. Say amen. Greet them after service. When I say greet them, it's not good afternoon. Some people just go fulfill all righteousness. Good afternoon. Some people will give you, this is Pastor T. Some of you don't know anything about Pastor T. All you know that is he interprets talks. That's all you know. You don't know anything else. I was saying. You don't even know that he's married with a wife here. You don't even know. Because if Pastor T is quiet, Mr. Ajayi is super quiet. How will you get to know that she's an interesting person if you don't greet? So, because we are what? One family. Learn to what? Greet. That's how to do things. We're a family. Now, that atmosphere of love is what encourages the activities of the Spirit. Now, it's so strong that without that atmosphere, because the Spirit that we're dealing with is within us, that Spirit will be stifled in expression. And we don't want stifling, we want what? Free flow of things of the Spirit. So as we're preparing for Holy Ghost meeting in January, we're going to have a marvelous time. Amen? Yeah. Some things are, you break the ice, you go to see believers. Like I said, if every single Sunday, you don't greet anybody, you just get up, take your bag and walk away. Don't. If you don't have anybody to greet, come and greet me. I will show you people that you can greet. Say amen. It's important. We are a family. Say we're a family. Good. So particularly those that you don't even have a clue of who they are. You don't even know their name. The more reason why you should go towards them and what? Greet them. That is how to behave in a family. We are family. Have you been blessed this morning? Lift your hands and just thank him this morning.